Welcome back to Switchcast Season 5. I'm your host, Doug Tabbitt, here with my co-host, Tyler Sanders, and our producer, our executive associate producer, Ethan Huffnagel. He got
a
promotion.
Promoted him again.
I promoted him, not all the way back to executive producer, okay. But executive associate or associate executive.
Got to work your way back up, Ethan.
This Tyler, you've been promoted to the assistant to the associate executive producer.
Oh, heck yeah. I will wield these new responsibilities with care and integrity, and I'm excited to see what we can do together.
Nobody cares. Switchcast is the automotive news and entertainment show that's not just for car people. Heck, some people would allege that or accuse us of not being car people. Our car guy card has been taken many, many times by randos on the internet. But if you enjoy this podcast and you think it's great, please like, share, and subscribe. Leave a 5-star review, a comment, anything that will help us out with the algorithms.
Algorithms?
Yeah. Rizzarizzarizzums. Algorithms.
Yeah. Ethan, cut that out.
Yes, Ethan, stop that. We got some good stuff. We got some good stuff tonight. We are just back from Thanksgiving break, even though based on the airing schedule, it doesn't seem like it, but we hope everybody had a wonderful holiday. Tyler is a wee bit injured, but his vocal cords are not injured, and neither is his brain. So
both are still working.
Yes.
Tip top up here.
Yes. His wit is in good shape. His back is not.
That's what getting old's like, I guess.
Yeah. Well, tonight we have Ferrari stolen by a transporter, sovereign citizen madness, and manufacturing gone bad with every European car manufacturer. But we are going to start out with a juicy but unfortunate one. Yet another Ferrari has been stolen by a transporter. Yet another one.
Womp womp.
Yep. I am still getting crap every day online for my video. I don't know if making fun of is the right word, but taking down a shady transporter based on the looks of his truck alone, which is, I mean, listen, if you're a professional driver and your car has hit everything but the lottery, then you are not good at your job. So I'm not going to ship my car with you. But there was other reasons that they were a terrible transporter. However, anytime somebody says, oh, well, you know, most of them get delivered fine. That's all that matters. I'm like, well, but the ones that don't get like stolen or dropped off the edge of a truck, which is what happened this past week. We saw a Lamborghini Diablo, a silver one that literally fell off the back ramp of a truck because the hydraulics failed. Very unfortunate situation. Can happen to anyone. I've seen it happen to good transporters, to bad transporters. The point there is if you use a good one, your car might fall off the truck, but they'll be insured and they'll pay for it.
Everything will be A-okay.
That's the difference. Bad things happen to good and bad transporters, but good transporters don't steal Ferraris. So that's what happened this week. So we got tipped off to a post on Instagram where a guy said that his Ferrari had been stolen by a transporter. Yes, indeed. And he alleged that the company he used, their account had been hacked, and he booked it through a broker. And that was his first mistake. And the carrier's account had been hacked, and thereby his vehicle was stolen. Now, I've heard this quite a bit. People talk about accounts being hacked on Central Dispatch, which is kind of the centralized load board for dealers, brokers, and carriers to meet. And unfortunately, this was not a match made in heaven. I pushed back a little bit and I said, okay, well, based on the information you provided, because he showed screenshots of the company information, which I then dug into because I've done this before and know how to do it. And I immediately, all my spidey senses were tingling, all the red flags were going up. I'm like, this company, he said it was SCD Cargo LLC. He said their account had been hacked and some other mysterious transporter had used their credentials to get the load from the broker and then steal his Ferrari. Now I said, hold on a minute. I think SCD cargo is your problem. And so I pushed back a little and I said, like, how did this go down? What broker did you use? And didn't really get anywhere. So I took it upon myself to do a bunch of research. So the story is 2009 Ferrari 812 Superfast. This customer bought it, booked the transport through a broker. Allegedly, SCD Cargo LLC's account on Central gets hacked and the car disappears. So the buyer said, okay, well, I'm going to give a $5,000 reward for any information pertaining to this that will lead to recovering my multi-$100,000 car. Now, let's see. Let's go into this a little bit. SCD Cargo LLC is registered at 13 East Main Street in Xenia, Ohio. They were incorporated on January 10th, 2023. Remember that detail for later. The registered agent with the state of Ohio is Abos Sabdarov. Now, this is important because that is the exact same name as is listed on the Central Dispatch account, and that is the exact same address. So one would think if SCD Cargo LLC was a legitimate transport company and their account got hacked, then that information would not match up with what the Secretary of State had on file. Maybe. I could see how people would think otherwise, but that's how I think. Now, 13 East Main Street comes back to a bakery / gift shop in downtown Xenia, Ohio. Currently, it's called Flower Box Gift Shop.
Look, you really just got to diversify in today's economy. You got a bakery, you got a gift shop, you're shipping some cars around. I get what, okay, that's on the up and up, Doug. This seems legit.
Sure. But it's a very nice lady on the voicemail. I did try calling to see if maybe there were a front or they had gotten some mysterious mail for SCD Cargo or Abo Sabdarov. Did not reach anyone at the time of, as of the time of recording. Let's see. Their insurance, SCD Cargo LLC's insurance, is listed with Progressive Casualty. Now, here's an interesting one. The date of their policy is September 10th of 2024. That probably means that they just kind of got up and running, right? So they were incorporated January of 2023, but looks like they just have insurance on September 10th, 2024. One of the big red flags for scam companies on Central Dispatch or anywhere else is newly incorporated. You need a company with a good track record. Also, they have a pending insurance cancellation. Gee, Willikers.
What a shock.
I would have think if their account got hacked, they would be going, oh, no, we're a legitimate company. We have insurance. Somebody stole our information. But it looks like they were actually a fly-by-night company. Their common contract authority is also pending revocation by the FMCSA, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. This is the second revocation we found for the company. The first one was in January of 2023, same month they were incorporated, for failure to have insurance. Also worth noting, they are no longer listed as a company on Central Dispatch. So their company was banned from Central Dispatch.
Do you think it was banned because of this incident, given the publicity, or?
Likely. Or somebody said, oh, gee, that looks like a fake account. How did we not catch that before? Now, let's see. How many phone numbers does your company have that you work? You work for a pretty big conglomeration.
Yeah.
If you like Google them.
Pretty sure there's one phone number.
One phone number. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
I think.
We have two phone numbers for switch cars. We have a landline and a text number. But anywhere you look, it's all the same. Well, these are the phone numbers listed in different places, different official places attached to SCD Cargo LLC. 740-520-2078. 831-278-5558. 302-232-8441. Notice all the different area codes. All of those have no results when I Google the number. 440-266-3363. The only apparent legitimate result for that one is an escort service listing website in Cleveland. I did not dig into it to... I didn't click that link.
But still Ohio, so okay.
Right, yeah. Maybe the trucker... thought he was, maybe needed a wide load escort or something like that. Didn't know what he was looking for. Let's see. 325-484-4447. I tried calling all of these numbers. They are all just nothing. They go to nothing. This one goes to a voicemail for Chris Kleffner. Let's see. The last one is 440-534-3255. So again, this company, this tiny little transport company, has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different phone numbers listed.
All from different areas.
You think they're legitimate? They got hacked.
Sniffing a little weird.
All right. So 440-534-3255 comes back also to Tron Prime LLC.
Oh, that's a cool name.
Yes. Now, we're going to get into more numbers. SCD Cargo LLC, their DOT number is 4009914. Tron Prime LLC is 4009933. So essentially, they registered with the DOT within like a day of each other, because they're only, quick math, like 20 apart, 19. Tron Prime's LLC is currently inactive with the DOT and the FMCSA. Go figure. According to the FMCSA, says the reason for their inactive status is, quote, new entrant revoked, refusal of audit, no contact, end quote. Now, Tron Prime LLC, their address comes back to a salon in downtown London, Ohio. Same type of like little small town village, and also a corner retail spot. It's like they went on Google Maps and picked...
Drop some pins. And yeah. Like, oh, that place looks almost cute. Identical. That place looks cute.
So this was a salon. I called them and they said, we have not received or claimed to not be aware of any mail they had received for Tron Prime or the registered agent Umar Babakanov.
Nice.
Don't want to stereotype, but we've heard those types of names before with these shady trucker companies. They have an additional phone number, 517-325-3116. Again, it goes nowhere. Their company was incorporated on January 11th, 2023. Tyler, do you remember the date of the incorporation of SCD Cargo?
It was in January of 2023.
January 10th.
Oh, very close.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, listen, all of this research could have been done by the broker who booked the transport for this poor customer who lost their Ferrari prior to booking, but they didn't. And I don't buy that SCD Cargo LLC's account was hacked. SCD Cargo LLC was the friggin' thief. That's what I think. And again, I push back. DM'd the claimed victim to try to like get some clarification on like, well, who was the broker? You know, it was not super clear on whose account had gotten hacked or how this all happened. And I had actually found some more information. I found the truck and trailer license plate and make and model, and I sent it to him, and he basically just said, no, car's gone, it's lost. So I'm like, all right, well, hopefully you have insurance coverage for this, but I don't know, because you did hand over your keys and the car. Well, you didn't. The seller did, but somebody handed it over as part of a seemingly legitimate transaction. But I think the double scam here, and we've probably seen this before, because hacked accounts are a common excuse for why people's cars get stolen when they ship them. I think the double scam here is that a fly-by-night company steals the car, defaults on their insurance, and then disappears, and then says, oh, my account got hacked. So you don't go after them. You think, oh, man, they got screwed too, but it was really them.
Eesh.
Not that there's a really good trail anyway. I mean, I did all this digging and it goes nowhere, right? Like, it goes to a salon and a flower box gift shop.
But now
with a
you
couple
know.
Of nice ladies working there who, I mean, maybe they're front for the Russian mob, maybe, but didn't seem like
if
it.
If you're in Xenia, you know exactly where a cute little bake shop is. You can go and get yourself a bun or a loaf or something tasty.
The salon is highly rated, 4.8 well, stars, actually.
I just don't understand. You know, I'm going to make some assumptions here that this was done from a saving a buck perspective, And even if this particular situation wasn't because of that, so many of these times that we see people going through brokers, going on Central Dispatch, it's because they're trying to save some money.
Or just not do work. Central Dispatch can be okay. Yeah. Saving money can be okay. There's a certain level of risk that you take on, but there's a difference between, oh, that trucker might scratch the car, might not have quite enough insurance, versus this trucker's fake and going to steal my car and ship it overseas.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, if you save a buck, maybe you need to do a little more research, or maybe you could pay a bit more to go with a national company that's very reputable, you know, has insurance and they'll take care of you. Like, everything has a cost. Sometimes that just isn't money. So you just got to be careful, because you can get yourself into some trouble.
Indeed. And if anyone's curious, so we found one inspection report for SCD Cargo, and it lists the make, model, and plate number of the vehicle. So if anyone wants to do more digging, go for it. Of course, this inspection was back in late 2023, about a year ago. There's a Volvo truck tractor registered in Illinois in 1992 model year. License plate number SP Sam Paul George 405468, and the trailer is a 2018 Hyundai, and the license plate out of Tennessee is U 738713. So internet sleuths, if you want to have a little more fun with that, I didn't get anywhere with just that information, but I don't think we're going to find the Ferrari, but it'd be interesting to do some more digging. And I think Umar and Bobble F, or whatever his other name was, Abos are probably operating under new names and have founded a couple more transport companies. You know, who knows?
Really just little entrepreneurs they are.
Little entrepreneurs. They're just trying to feed their family. Just, you know, why are you getting in the way of them trying to make a buck? Oh, boy. Wall of Shame. Oh,
yes. What do we got for Wall of Shame, Doug?
I modified it a little bit this week. Wall of Shame has in the past been dealers kind of pushing back and making fun of customers who just have ridiculous inquiries or are offensive towards the dealers or just being moronic in some way or another. But I put a spin on it this week and I call it Dealers Behaving Badly. Now, I don't want to besmirch this dealership too much, because they didn't misrepresent this car. They represented this car as an Audi R8 V8. But whoever they were selling it for or bought it from or whatever was definitely doing the up badging. And what is the internet site, up badge slut shaming or whatever? Is that what it's called?
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
People who do that. So this one is really bad. It's an R8 V8 with, I think, an aftermarket wing on it, probably. But it has got 100% badging everywhere. Dangerously close to the airbag. It's got a giant R8 and a V10 on it. It's got so many rings. It's got more rings than the Olympics on the floor mats. I think it's got three Audi logos per floor mat.
And they get smaller as the floor mat narrows. It's fantastic. what about the headrest pillows in
the
orange?
Neck pillows.
Yeah, the neck pillows.
Yes, the color matched Samoa orange branded stitched neck pillows. Yes. But on the back also, it says V10 Turbo and Iron Man. They've got badges for all of them. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Forgiato.
Which I saw that and was like, okay, well, they don't even have Forgiato wheels on the car. But they do. They just look so close to the stock R8 wheels that you can't tell.
Somebody wasted some money. They also have some badging on the front. There's a wreath around the Audi, looks like. And they also have an Iron Man front plate, you know, because every R8 has Iron Man lineage. So anyway, it's
I dig the color, though. It's good.
Yeah,
it's a good color.
Nice color.
Everything else about it's kind of terrible.
Not actually a V10 or a turbo. Oh, even on the engine bay, on the engine cover, they have V10 and turbo. It's awesome.
And the turbo isn't even put on straight. It's so good.
Yep. And it's not even for sale by the dealer that claims to have it. It's for sale supposedly on Facebook by Richmond Auto Service in Richmond, Virginia, but it's actually for sale down the street, just a couple blocks, because Richmond Auto Service is a service shop. So anyway, that's that was a funny one. And of course, you watching on the video, we'll put up some photos of it so you can revel in the the awfulness of the up badging on this one.
Nuts for Sticks is a brand celebrating the manual transmission in all its forms. So forget those flappy paddles, because we like shifting ourselves. Check out our fun and funny stick themed shirts at nutsforsticks.com and save 10% on your order using the discount code SWITCHCAST. That's nutsforsticks.com and use code SWITCHCAST.
All right, we are back with segment number two, and oh boy, this is a fun one. Shout out goes to Jay Roberts for the tip on this fun story. I have been learning all about sovereign citizens in the past week, particularly because of this story. I don't know if it's a story, but this newspaper notice that was in the Alpharetta...
Goodness, you're struggling. Alpharetta, Roswell Herald.
Roswell?
Oh, nope, there isn't any there. Whoop, got to zoom in. on November 14th of 2024, so this is hot off the press, if you will.
That date's important.
Yeah, pay attention. We'll circle back to that later. I'm not even sure how you get something like this in the paper. I would like to know that. But
they will take your money and print just about anything.
So what we have here is a little blurb in a paper. Legal notice at the top. This is to inform the public that Wayne Barrett has signed with a qualified endorsement in accordance with Article 3 of the Uniform Commercial Code, UCC, of Georgia by endorsing without recourse on all relevant promissory notes and agreements, including those reporting on his credit profile and any claims of repossession concerning the following. Now, we have three vehicles listed here. Vehicle number one, a 2016 BMW 750i with a loan from Navy Federal Credit Union on it.
Not my favorite bank.
No, you want PenFed. That's the one you want. Vehicle number two, a 2020 Audi Q3 with a loan from Georgia's own. All right, so he's shopping around. Car number three, a 2022 Toyota Camry, finally a little responsibility, with a loan from Foresight Capital / Grand Motors. So hold on a second.
Yes.
So my dude has three cars with three different loans and claims of repossession concerning the phone. So he started. Okay. Well, I'm confused, but I'm going to continue and we'll see where this leads us. We're on an adventure.
You will not get any less confused the more you learn.
All right. Adventure it is. Buckle up, ladies and gents, or lady and gents, knowing our audience probably.
That's accurate statistics.
We're so glad you're here. Please don't leave. UCC 11.
No, listen, people's wives are listening in the background.
Oh, that's true.
Occasionally.
We'll also come to that later and put a pin in that bad boy. All right. So UCC 11 or a UCC 11 search revealed no existing liens on record. A UCC lien has since been perfected and recorded on all three vehicles. Additionally, 1099A and 1099C forms have been submitted and approved by the IRS. I still have no idea what's going on. That sounds to me like the dude got loans and liens on all these cars. Wayne Barrett has notified all involved lenders, all three of them, regarding the enforcement of his rights and provided instructions for their compliance. You know, it's very interesting that he instructed a company on their compliance to his rules when he signed the paperwork to participate in the business the company does, but...
Okay, I'm just going to let you keep going. We're going to...
I'm
going to interrupt you.
Okay.
I'm going to interrupt you. Okay, so 1099A and 1099C forms are the following. 1099C form is for cancellation of debt. So if you have a debt canceled, you have to file income tax on that debt cancellation. That is considered income. Carvana has utilized that to the tune of 800 some odd million dollars on their financial statements. And note that counts for student loans. So people thinking that student loans getting forgiven is like all your money back. Well, it doesn't include interest, and you owe the government income tax on the money that, well, that you didn't pay given. Them.
Yeah.
Well, you owed it. It was a federally backed student loan. So it's money that you didn't give them and they forgave you. But by the way, it's income. So he's claiming that because he filed a form with the IRS regarding this income, that somehow makes it official. And 1099A form is for borrowers. If you lend money in connection with your trade or business and they are acquired or acquisition or abandonment of secured property, you do not need to be in the business of lending money to be subject to this reporting requirement. So basically what he's saying is, I'm going to use a different authority, right?
Okay.
Because the IRS took my form for this income and abandonment of property, then the bank should just accept it. But
so is he trying to say that I've abandoned the vehicles and canceled and I've reported income from the cancellation of the debt?
He has canceled the debt.
Okay. Can you,
as the debtor?
I don't think that's how that works.
Well,
that's not
does.
How any of this works.
That's how the UCC works, according to him.
Interesting.
This is sovereign citizen stuff. We'll get into this. But the hilarious thing is, like, listen, the IRS will take money for anything. You can just send them a form saying, I owe you money. Listen, heck, if you steal money or sell drugs, they require you to pay income on that. They are not going to report you to the state and say, oh, by the way, put this guy in jail.
They're like, we got our cut. Uncle Sam's pockets are full.
That's
We're
it.
Good.
Yeah, they might report you to the state. Or don't quote me on that, you know, but they just want their money. So this filing with the IRS means nothing to his legal claims.
Well, and isn't that how so many people have gotten got is by not paying taxes on illegally obtained money? And so the IRS is like, it's a little fishy.
Here's the irony. Wesley Snipes, one of the most famous sovereign citizens on the planet, went to federal prison for not filing taxes. Sovereign citizens believe fundamentally in not paying taxes, but they also believe in using whatever law suits their fancy for whatever they want to accomplish in order to essentially game the system. So somebody who believes that they should not pay taxes at all and not file taxes is like, well, but I'm going to file income on this debt that I don't owe because I said I don't owe it. And
oh,
I endorsed without recourse on my loan contract. So that makes it official.
Oh, my goodness. Can I finish this?
Yes,
there's some good stuff down here. Alrighty. Let me put my reading glasses back on. Wayne Barrett has notified all involved lenders regarding the enforcement of his rights and provided instructions for their compliance. Is where
and
we
they
left
said,
off.
Screw you.
I'm sure. They were like, who's this guy? Look at this Joe. Okay. Under divine authority, as an Israelite, in accordance with Deuteronomy 15, Wayne Barrett asserts his right to be free from debt as one of God's people.
Oh, yes.
Or as one of God's people, should not be in bondage to debt or interest. But by God, one of God's people needs a 2022 Toyota Camry, a 2020 Audi Q3, and a 2016 BMW 750i. This
Those
declaration
are likely interest rates as well. 20.22 and 2016.
This declaration is made under the Most High God, affirming that Wayne Barrett has not volunteered for slavery, debt, or loan.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Didn't he sign the paperwork? What does he think that means?
He said relevant promissory notes and agreements. So he did. That's what you do when you sign it. But hold on. So here's the thing. Well, he didn't do caps and no caps, right? So one of the things with sovereign citizens is they believe that you are a separate entity from like your birth certificate, right? So that you are a corporation, an independent corporation. So he could say that like his birth certificate person like signed those documents, but he as a corporation didn't.
I know corporations got to be people, but now people get to be corporations? I don't understand what the...
Well, because they believe that the government is an unlawful corporation.
Okay.
Right? So from the videos I've seen, they all quote the Constitution, right? So they pull parts of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, again, that suit them.
100%.
Right? Okay. So they have a right to do whatever under the laws of the Constitution, and they recognize some of the UCC, and apparently this guy recognizes Israelite law and some IRS rules.
Ooh, he also recognizes divine law. It says this notice, to finish this little blurb here, serves as a public record of the actions taken in full compliance with the applicable laws and divine law.
It's Wayne's the first good. Time a sovereign citizen has ever been in full compliance with applicable laws.
But I do love the applicable laws. That doesn't mean all laws. It right. means only the ones that we're applying here.
Yes, the ones that he has deemed applicable.
My goodness.
So much going on here. If you haven't watched Sovereign Citizens getting owned by the police or courts or anything, it's awesome because they never, ever, ever win. Obviously, probably the most common ones that we would all be familiar with is seeing them being pulled over by police when they're driving. They have no insurance, no driver's license, and they typically have tags that just say private, not
yes.
for hire, whatever. And they say, well, I'm traveling, because they assert their right under the Constitution and or maritime law that they are traveling. As long as they are intrastate, like within a state, they don't cross state lines. Again, using the UCC, Uniform Commercial Code, they say, well, you know, I'm a non-commercial traveler, so I'm not required to have a license or be subject to the police or laws or whatever, which this tracks, right? So Wayne Barrett has registered with the DOT as...
Which is a part of the government that he apparently...
Yeah, yes. It's the part that suits him. And of course, it's not him. It's his trust. Wayne Barrett, BEY Trust.
Is that a different entity? So we have birth certificate Wayne, we have corporate Wayne, and then we have another
Trust.
More different Bay Trust Wayne.
Very Bay. but he's registered as a company. He is not authorized to do commercial carrying. He is authorized, his operation classification, this is important, is a private passenger classification, non-business, intrastate only, so within the state, to carry passengers, fresh produce, grain, feed, hay, coal, coke, meat, U.S. mail, of all things, and other.
Ah, yes, other. He can carry it. I would love to see him put a hay bale in the back of that 750. Like, what is... this guy's got too much time on his hands.
All right, so this is great. So thankfully, thanks to
struggling.
All sorts of tongue-tied tonight. Thanks to Dan Doucette, our in-house research assistant, for coming up with the full VINs of all three of Wayne Barrett Corporation Trust's cars.
Oh, did you find them?
I did. 2016 BMW 7 Series. He purchased this one on August 20, 2024, 2022 Toyota Camry SE. He purchased that one on August 21st, 2020 Audi A3 Quattro. He purchased that one again on August 20th. So he purchased all three vehicles within a 24-hour time period. That is important.
That's a busy day.
Well, the important thing about that is, right, like you can have a bunch of inquiries on your credit and it doesn't ding your credit that much. But as soon as you have an active loan, it's like, oh, well, gee, that affects your debt to income ratio, your credit score, et cetera. So he took them all out on the same day before any of the rest of them hit his credit. So he went around to these dealers, bought three different 20K mediocre luxury cars, which tells me like this was a purposeful scam, right? Like, oh, I didn't volunteer for this debt and I declare that I'm going to be free from slavery of debt because of God's law. Well, it sure seems like this was intentional.
Yeah, you don't spend a whole day going around and buying three cars to get loans from three different lenders and have it not be on purpose. And you can't purchase a car without signing the loan, the promissory note, mm-hmm. which has a bunch of words above it that you agree to when you sign it.
And you usually can't buy a car on credit without credit, which means he's used credit before.
And he's participating in the system.
Oh, yes.
That he wants to disengage from.
Yes.
Look, if Wayne wants to go live in a cabin in the woods and hunt for his own food and cut his own wood, fine. But he is using he's using what society has provided, mm-hmm. but he doesn't want to participate mm-hmm. in making sure that that all kind of works.
It's like the fundamentalist Mormons.
What is
not
that?
Not the like mainstream ones, okay. the ones that still subscribe to polygamy and think that Joseph Smith and Brigham Young are their like one true, the one mighty and strong or whatever. Okay. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. They think they are, that they're the one mighty and strong. And that's why okay. they have 17 wives and they have these compounds and they basically reject the U.S. government as an authority except when it suits them. So they'll be willing to milk the government. So for example, all of their other wives who can't legally be wives under state law get, because they're like considered single mothers, they get assistance from the state. So these guys with like 17 wives get massive government assistance checks for their family based on all these single women with 17 children apiece. I keep using the number 17, but
what in the world?
Random. Yeah. So anyway, it's sovereign citizen, FLDS, not too far apart. So this is a good one. I searched a little bit on Wayne Barrett from Ackworth, Georgia. On November 14th, 2024, which was the same day as this notice in the paper, in Fulton County, Georgia, in the Johns Creek Herald, he posted a notice entitled legal notice. Just I'm not an attorney, but just because you say something is a legal notice doesn't mean it's a legal notice. No,
what does that even mean? It's
legal notice, Ethan. I own all of your possessions.
Oh, bro,
in
screwed.
Accordance with the divine law and uniform commercial code, I posted it. So it's
can't argue with that.
No, yeah. You can't.
He is now the executive associate producer of Switchcast as well as the host.
Now that logic is airtight. I mean,
I'm sorry for your loss, bud.
All right. Legal notice. This notice is to inform the public and courts that budget vehicle recovery on or about November 3rd, unlawfully took the 2022 Toyota Camry without a court order or proof of collateral agreement. The registered owner, Wayne Barrett, has noticed BVR that his fee is $1,500 USD initial invoice and $1,000 USD for each day unreturned. Oh, he's charging a fee for $1,000 for his vehicle that they took unlawfully from him.
Huh.
That's interesting. This is a tacit agreement, exclamation point. So the 2022 Toyota Camry got repoed and boy, it is back up for sale already. So don't mess with Grand Motor Cars. They want their stuff back.
Goodness.
Navy Federal, on the other hand, still hasn't even processed the title. They don't know that they have a loan.
Somebody who works at Navy Federal is going to be listening to this and they're going to be like, oh my God. And it's still going to be sitting in their processing queue.
Oh gosh. Which one was that? Was that the Audi?
No, that was the BMW.
That was the BMW. Okay. Well, let's see. Anybody works for Navy Federal, your VIN number is WBA7F0C56GGM20574. Go get him.
Well, you see, with something like that, I wonder, are they going to process all the paperwork and the title before it has a repair bill over $1,000? Or because those things...
Yeah. Yikes.
Drive those things...
No kidding.
Out of your driveway.
And, yeah, because that's the N63 motor.
Spicy meatball when that goes wrong.
95,000 miles. Man, that thing might not have a good motor in it anymore. Boy, boy. Oh, there's so much more. There's so much more on this guy and sovereign citizens. I mean, these guys.
How deep down this rabbit hole did you go?
Not that deep, but it's... I've been like tangentially paying attention to them for a while because it's just fun and interesting and hilarious and ridiculous. But it's funny to watch them because they never win in court because they just make up ridiculous things and they just claim themselves as an authority and they don't, they go to court, but they represent themselves. Nice. They don't have attorneys. They don't represent the court. And half the time they'll just, I mean, the mumbo jumbo that they spout is ridiculous. And these judges just end up throwing them in jail for contempt or whatever. So I didn't look up Wayne Barrett's criminal record, but I'm sure there is one.
Oh, that's amazing.
He won't acknowledge it because it's his corporate entity.
Yeah, yeah, no. That, at that point, he is birth certificate Wayne. I don't know what corporate entity Wayne's doing over there. That's no good, but it ain't me.
What I want to know is like how, if he doesn't have a driver's license, how does he, like, who gives him a loan and like sends him out the door? You got to have insurance and stuff to get a vehicle with a loan. So
that means he has to know his social security number. He's got to be able to, he has credit so he can apply for the loan. He has to have a driver's license because you can't get a loan without a driver. Like, he's participating.
He is fully participating.
Oh my goodness.
But legal notice. God says, I don't owe anybody any money, so I don't.
Boy, howdy.
Yeehaw. Well, not quite as good a negotiator as Wayne Barrett, but almost as good. We have the shrewd negotiator, which is when a customer just tries a little bit too hard, or a seller, really anybody, dealer, could be anyone, that are just, they fall over themselves trying to get an advantage in a deal, in a negotiation. So today we had an inquiry. And a customer wanted to sell us a Porsche with a golf blue wrap on it.
It sounds like it would probably look pretty cool.
Yeah, sure.
Look, right.
Sure. Silver underneath, allegedly. But, you know, wraps are scary because we don't know what's underneath. And it's very, very expensive to remove wraps, or it can be at least. If they're installed recently on original paint and they were installed properly and with good high quality film, they can be pretty easy to remove, but it's still a lot of labor. But we don't know that until we start removing it. I've heard of bills in excess of $5,000 to remove a wrap, which is like the same price it costs to put it on.
Yeah, my gosh.
So anyway, so I told my guys, I'm like, dude, discount the crap out of this because like I don't want to deal with it. And you know, the risk is huge because we could pull paint when we pull the wrap. Like we could get under there and go, oh my gosh, this thing is all scratched up or it's missing paint or whatever.
Yeah, because it could be covering something up that the owner didn't want to deal with a full repaint for. Or and you, even if they've got some proof of when it was installed, you don't know how high quality the install was. So
the whole thing.
Ugh.
So I told the guys to discount like $5,000. They only discount at $2,500 off of what we would have paid. And that included having to ship it from out west. So really not bad. And they gave their reasoning, which I guess maybe that was the flaw, right? Like never talk down somebody's car. But anyway, the customer emailed back and said, quote, the wrap is not a liability. It is a selling point.
A selling point? How?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. It never is. I've been doing this forever. Anytime. I can't sell wrapped cars. People are like, what does it look under the wrap? What does it look like? What does it look like? How much does it cost to take it off? Every single time. I can't even sell cars. I've had 911s before that they ordered the Porsche factory script and put it on the side skirts. And it's like, we ordered this from Porsche, but it wasn't optioned from the factory. The cars were sale-proof just with that little Carrera script on the side. People are like, oh, well, will the paint have faded differently when you pull it off? Is it going to pull paint? Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, a little Carrera script. So a full wrap, yes, it's a liability. It's a friggin' liability.
Yikes.
Oh, well, on that note.
Did you get the car?
No. No. No, I want to have a little bit of fun for the bonus here. We'll see if this works. According to the Wayne Barrett Bay Trust on the FMCSA website, he has a phone number here in Ackworth, Georgia. So I'm curious what his opinion is on these vehicles getting repoed. So we're going to give him a little call because I Googled his phone number as well, and it came up. As, let's see, what is this? Home Buyers Networking, and they're open till 9 p.m. So let's see if Wayne's there. Can't put it on speaker. There we go.
No one is available to answer your call at this time. Please leave a message after the tone.
Such a bummer.
When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Yes, my name is Doug, and I'm looking for the Wayne Barrett Corporation or Trust or the Wayne Barrett of the birth certificate. Any one of those would be great. I was actually looking for a guru to help me out on some stuff. I read about how you got those cars from the dealerships and dispelled your debt. And I was wondering about that UCC stuff and if you could maybe help me out, mentor me with how I could get some cars that way. I'm real interested in learning. So if you could call me back, that'd be great. Thank you, Wayne Barrett Corporation Trust. This episode is brought to you by Sheffield All Sport Watches. The Sheffield brand was recently revived by Jay Turkbus, an owner of an original Sheffield All Sport diver he received from his parents in 1970 when he was just 11, beginning his love of watches. As an adult, Jay used his extensive expertise in product development and marketing to revive the brand that started it all. He set out to develop watches with a high level of quality and specification at a value price. His first effort, and a successful one in July of 2023, was the debut of the Sheffield All Sport Diver 1. It had the kind of build and movement that much more expensive watches use, and his debut price of $108 was equivalent to the $13 his parents paid back in 1970. Since that debut, Sheffield has expanded to a wider range of automatics and chronos, many designed around vintage Sheffield dials of the 60s. The Sheffield well of clever and unique design remains his inspiration, as well as maintaining the goal of high quality, very affordable range of automatic and quartz watches. Sheffield watches, value on merit, not just price. I love mine. Get yours at SheffieldWatches.com and mention that you heard about them on Switchcast.
What's up, guys? Hanging out here with Doug, getting ready to record a podcast. Another day living the life.
Okay.
Yes, Doug?
Yeah. How do we come back from that? That is actually a great question that all of the manufacturers that we're about to talk about are asking themselves right now, not the least of which Jaguar, but also Porsche and Stellantis and Aston Martin. And by golly, there are some really terrible results this quarter for a lot of the luxury manufacturers and some of the EV manufacturers. Rivian. Woo-wee. So yikes. Let's talk about them. I know Jaguar is a huge buzz right now. It is the hot topic. I mean, it kind of looks like where they got their outfits for the commercial, honestly.
Whoa, are you disparaging Hot Topic, Doug? No. I used to shop there, get pants with so many buckles and chains on them, they wouldn't even know what to do with yourself. My gosh. Is insulting my childhood right there. But so what do you, but I'm curious, we don't want to sit on this too much because it is what everybody's talking about. What do you think of the Type 00 or the Type 0, whatever they're called?
Okay, right. So the actual car, which
came way after the commercial.
Right. The commercial had nothing to do with the car, but Jaguar makes cars. Well, they're not going to for a year, but they made cars and they will make cars again. But they just aired their new concept, which looks like it was built in Minecraft.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yep. Although I didn't realize this, I thought it was just a crappy like 3D generation. Yeah, there's like a real mock-up of it that was shown, and some people had reasonable things to say about it, but yeah. it's a concept car. It's not going to look anything like what happens in reality. But if it looks anything like the concept, it's going to be absolutely, well, less ridiculous than a Tesla Cybertruck, I guess. But
No, you know, I'm not trying to send you elsewhere from this glorious content you're watching right now, but Harry's Garage did a great video, in my opinion. He went to see it be unveiled, and he has got a lot of good opinions about the car. But what I don't understand is this all feels to me like a bunch of marketing people got together and said, this is how you make a splash.
They
and
made
that's
a
literally
splash.
All that they tried to do, because everything about the car is just confusing.
Well, and their strategy for actually selling cars is difficult. Before we get there, let's stick on the commercial just a little bit more. But one might guess that their target demographic, based on the recent ad, is Subaru buyers that maybe had some investments pay off. Yeah, maybe. There's a rule that says there's no such thing as bad publicity or saying, and that may be at play here, but I don't know that gossip actually sells cars. It certainly didn't. The crazy thing is, though, Tata Motors stock, I have to make sure I say motors after the first part of
that.
Oh,
yep.
That company's stock has gone up since the ad was released, in contrast to Anheuser-Busch's massive loss after their equally controversial marketing experiment.
I think
faux pas.
There are just continually data points that go to show you that the market is disconnected from reality in a lot of ways a lot of the time.
Okay.
They just, it's riding the, I don't even want to say hype. It's riding the craze. Like, oh my God, what are they going to do? What's going to happen?
The craze for what?
Whatever the heck they were going to reveal after that wild commercial.
They probably should have had something to reveal. I was worried that they were going to reveal some things in the commercial that I didn't want to see. But, you know, let's see though, their strategy. How is this going to work? Jaguar says, we are going fully EV. Only electric vehicles, and they're trying to move up market. So $150,000 plus hyper luxury EVs.
So they're cutting their pool of buyers significantly.
Correct.
Okay. So
after they take a year off to transition, reinvent themselves
okay.
as a company.
Yep, yep.
Yes.
So they're not going to be making any cars to sell for a year. While they're spending all this money designing a new thing, and then they're going to move up market to try to sell to a smaller group of people who potentially are already served by other vehicles.
Correct. Already
nice.
Very much served, so much so that, drum roll, all the other manufacturers who are making quite a bit of money, but are making less money since they tried to go luxury EV and are backpedaling on that, are now looking at their balance sheets going, oh, gee, this is not so good. Well, their P&Ls, not their balance sheets, but both. So Porsche's Q3 reports are not good. Profits are way down. Stellantis, obviously. Lotus is doing terribly, partly because of their stinking Chinese rebadged SUV that they're selling. And just today, Lotus has announced that they're essentially backpedaling on the EV thing. So they're going back to internal combustion. Porsche, after their Q3 reports came out, said, we're going back to internal combustion, right? They said, oh, 718, Macan, those are going all EV. Just kidding.
Well, maybe we'll still sell a couple more, you know, if it's
right.
What the people actually want.
Right. Yeah. So, I don't know that strategy is going to work so well.
Well, and what I don't, you know, I want to clarify something here if there's some new listeners. You know, we rag on a lot of EV stuff all the time. I personally believe that the luxury EVs are not the answer. Like, we need affordable transportation for people, not just toys for the uber wealthy. But also, EVs are not going to be the only answer. So why do we keep acting as if they are?
And they could be the wrong answer. Yeah, I believe in alternative energy. I believe in clean and renewable energy. I don't think lithium ion batteries are the way to go. They could be, but this idea that they have to be is crap. And I love that the free market economy is responding to this and going, ha ha ha, nope, we don't want them. The $150,000 plus luxury EVs from Porsche, from Audi, from everyone are depreciating so fast, so fast. It's There's a study scary. On, yeah, I can't remember now where, I think it was Motor One. But there's a study that I read that said they're depreciating, EVs are depreciating 6 times faster than their internal combustion counterparts. Listen, Jaguar Land Rover's financials are actually pretty good. Now, they may be propped up by Land Rover because Jaguar is not selling very many cars, but their financials year over year are actually better than Porsche's and better than most of their competitors. So I don't think that's the right time to go, let's lean into what has screwed over our competitors and they are now backing away from.
And also do it in such a way that you actively try to abandon all brand heritage and history and everything else. Like, the fact that they changed literally everything about how this car is presented and badged is kind of what, but they made it, the side profile looks like an E-Type, because in the E-Type, in front of the door and ahead of the hood, the bonnet, whatever you want to call it, there is a square, there's like a rectangular piece that the seams make. That's on this concept. So they're like, we want to abandon the past and bring it to the future, but we're still going to reference it a little bit, but maybe not a lot. And then we're going to change all. It doesn't make any sense.
Their marketing department is abandoning the past.
Mm.
Their designers
are like, well, okay,
maybe
let's
not
try
so much. Yep. And man, okay. Yeah. I don't want to talk anymore about their commercial, but I would just say if we're talking about economics here, taking lessons from other companies, won't get into the politics of the commercial itself, but as Anheuser-Busch learned, when you double down on a certain type of political statement as a quote unquote neutral corporation, it will alienate a significant portion of your demographic of buyers. Now, people can say that that's bigoted or narrow-minded or small-minded or whatever. Fine. Call those people whatever you want if they are choosing to make choices with their money based on their personal values. We all do that every day. Whether or not those personal values are right or wrong, they still have the right to make those choices with their wallet. And if you as a company are focused on making money, it's a dangerous thing to lean heavily into a certain type of political statement that could alienate even more buyers than your actual vehicular design and strategy and pricing would.
And I think they're going to, but luxury only is just wild. And regardless of what it looks like or anything else, just in a time where you're trying to revitalize a company, narrowing your pool of buyers even a little bit seems like a wild decision. But maybe they know something. I don't know. I don't run a car company. I'm sitting here talking into a microphone with my friend. So,
well, neither does the CEO of Stellantis anymore. He just
what a transition.
Yep. Which is good because let's see. Alfa Romeo is selling. Oh, gee. The average Alfa dealer, according to Motor One, is selling 7 cars per month.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yep. They're part of Stellantis. Man, Jeep salesmen everywhere are wondering how they sell so many cars. No, it's bad for Stellantis, really, really bad. So, and they own a lot of pretty crappy brands right now. So let's see how all of that works out.
Do we think Chrysler's finally going to kick the bucket and make the Pacifica something else?
That's a good question.
Dodge?
That's a good question.
The Alpha There's Pacifica.
Not gonna be much left under the Dodge umbrella.
No, yeah. The Ram Pacifica. Put dualies on the back.
The Specifica. Let's see. It's its own brand, and you order it to spec. Yeah, I just came up with that.
Something that I saw a lot across articles talking about earnings from all of these manufacturers is slowing China demand.
Yes.
That is...
by large percentages.
Huge percentages.
Yes.
And there's, you know, there's a lot of reasons that could be talked about, but that is... I did not realize how heavily all of these manufacturers were leaning into the Chinese market.
Yes, very much so. China became Porsche's number one customer, I believe, last year. But now that they're down, I think it was 22%. It's either 22 or 12, significant number. US is now the number one customer of Porsche again. Transitioning a little bit, not talking about Jaguar still. But let's see, Rivian, speaking of luxury EVs, right? So Rivian is a company who has built their foundation on luxury EVs, which Jaguar is trying to do. I love this recap from the SSO report, and this is a fantastic resource if you want to get really high-level analysis of all these quarterly reports. We are just giving a sarcastic little flyover of all of this, but this guy really digs in. I love reading his stuff. It's a great resource. So ssoreport.com. Okay, so he's talking about Rivian. It has just been announced that the U.S. Department of Energy will make a $6.6 billion loan to Rivian Automotive to build a factory in Georgia.
Whoa.
The Ron Swanson to me is going, why is the government loaning a private company money, right?
Is there something they need from Rivian? Like, I know Rivian is making the Amazon delivery vans and what?
I don't know. So he says this is the same factory on which construction was halted earlier this year when Rivian ran into financial issues. But if you remember, if you're an avid listener of the podcast or you just read any news, Volkswagen Group pledged to invest $5.8 billion earlier this year into a joint venture with Rivian. So we've got $12.5 billion coming from Volkswagen and U.S. Department of Energy. The new Georgia factory is slated to have an initial production capacity of 200,000 vehicles per year when it opens in 2028, rising to 400,000 by 2030.
Are that Rivian, many people going to be buying Rivians?
I'm so glad you asked. Rivian currently operates one major factory in Normal, Illinois. The Normal facility currently has capacity. Sorry, sidetrack. Jaguar will never produce cars at a Normal factory.
I thought we were done with Jaguar, Doug.
It currently has capacity to produce 200,000 vehicles annually. Their current factory has the capacity to produce 200,000 vehicles, but
why do they need more?
The government loaned them $6.6 billion so they can build this factory in Georgia because, you know, they want to expand to up to 600,000 vehicles per year. But according to Rivian's Q3 earnings, Rivian posted a loss of $1.1 billion in the third quarter, and it's so far lost $4 billion this year. So they've lost essentially all of Volkswagen's money this year.
Wow.
Year to date, they've delivered 37,000 vehicles.
That is a whole digit off.
Yep.
Wow.
Up just 3% from last year. Production volume is down 36,749 vehicles because Rivian has been working off excess inventory from 2023 when Rivian overproduced 7,110 vehicles.
What could be the possible need for another factory?
Good question. Really good question. I love this summary. Based on Rivian's year-to-date 3% growth rate, assuming it continues, they will not run out of capacity at the Normal facility for 125 years.
Look, they're just trying to get ahead. They're trying to be prepared. You know, in 2130, when everybody's buying Rivians, I got to admit, though, that the R3 or whatever the little, like, compact SUV-looking thing is, that thing looks pretty sick.
Yeah.
Like that. Maybe they're going to produce a ton of those and they'll be $20,000 so everybody can afford them and it'll be the people's EV, right? Right?
Yeah, no.
It's just,
man, these brands are just shooting themselves in the foot. Listen, I was incredibly, terribly, horribly wrong about Carvana stock. I will admit that. I've admitted it multiple times. However, boy, have I not been wrong about EVs. I wish there was a way I could have bet financially on that.
It is, and it's so interesting to hear that at the same time that we're hearing that the Euro 7 regulations are going to kill the naturally aspirated GT3 from Porsche, and like we're trying to figure something out. We haven't quite gotten there yet, but this is a wild time to be paying attention to cars.
It really is. I think the word that sums it up is artificial. Instead of just listening to demand and doing good engineering, right? So I had this, I got to finish that sentence and then I'll go to my rant. Can't do both at the same time. These companies are leaning into a policy, an idealist mentality, right? We want this to be true about green energy. It is not true yet, but if we keep pouring billions and billions of dollars into it, it will become true, but it may not. Right? I'd rather just engineers do really good engineering things. What if we had diesel series hybrids in cars? We might be getting 100 miles to a gallon. I was lamenting that we bought a four-cylinder turbo mid-size SUV that's supposed to be like economic efficient, right? We didn't buy one of the Luxo barge things. We just took a road trip and we averaged like 22 miles to the gallon on the highway. 22. I'm thinking
my Porsche does better than that.
This is 2024. People were getting 22 miles a gallon 300 years ago, right? Like I should be getting 100 miles to the gallon. This is crazy. Oh, it's the oil companies. They're making sure this happens. No, no. If the engineers would work on cars instead of batteries, like, or trying to like meet governmental regulations, maybe we could get somewhere.
And that's where I get so excited about the e-fuels or the sustainable fuels that Porsche has invested so heavily in and other companies are doing. Like, that's the stuff that gets me excited because it's a way for me to, you know, take better care, ideally, of the environment I live in while still enjoying the stuff I love. And so I wish that, and maybe this stuff is going on and we just don't hear about it, but I wish that, like Doug said, the engineers could just create great things that make sense and improve upon those things and have the freedom to, maybe it is develop battery technology to surpass EVs, but then some other companies working on sustainable fuels and another company is working on these diesel serial thingamajiggers that he talked about. Like, there's options. I love options.
What if the Department of Energy had given Porsche $5.6 billion like they developed, I think they spent $100 million on their zero emissions fuel. What could they do with $5.6 billion in spare cash? Instead, they're building a factory. How much emissions is happening building that factory with all the diesel trucks and equipment that's spouting black fumes to build this factory that isn't going to get used? Come on. Okay. We're running out of time. It is time for the props and flops brought to you, of course, by Switch Cars.
And Switch Cars is the enthusiast dealership where we buy, sell, and consign only cars that we like ourselves. Check out our handpicked inventory at thebeautifulswitchcars.com and mention Switchcast for special pricing. You can visit switchcars.com or visit our showroom.
That was my cue.
No, I just paused because I was got to get my reading glasses again. You can visit switchcars.com or our showroom in beautiful Twinsburg, Ohio. And Doug, what is the pick of the week from the Switch Cars inventory?
The pick of the week is a 2008 Porsche GT3 RS finished in orange, not signal so orange, 17,500 miles, steel brakes, full leather, orange stitching. Clean history, zero paint work, all original. Had it sold today. Yeah. The guy signed contracts yesterday, said he was going to wire money today. And then he said he couldn't get insurance. It's an interesting excuse, and it seems contracts don't mean anything anymore. But whatever, that is available. Our flop of the week, speaking of Stellantis, Stellantis itself is selling its 4,000-acre proving ground in Arizona. Still keeping the one in Detroit, but you know, there's still jokes. They're selling their testing grounds. So You know, why bother testing their cars, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
Can't have a proven grounds if it proves that your products are crap. No, nothing. That's it. All right. Stellantis should put their CEO through more rigorous testing than maybe their cars would survive, too.
That was it.
Although he's out. He's out today. Yeah, he's wrote that joke before I found out he resigned. So anyway.
How about we dip into the Switchcast war chest to purchase us a 4,000-acre proving ground? Where's the podcast money, Doug?
That would be pretty awesome. That would be pretty awesome. Our prop of the week. General Motors, which has been lobbying for quite a while to get a Formula One team and was denied, finally got approved to run an F1 team. So nice. They will be the 11th team on the grid out of a possible 12. Corvette enthusiasts unite. Your C5 will finally have the same provenance that a Ferrari does, thanks to almighty provenance.
Because that's what I'm talking about. As a newly minted Corvette guy, I love this news. This makes me very happy. Do they have pace cars in F1? Can we do a Corvette pace car for the
bring
F1?
It back?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they'll go that far. And it's Cadillac. Cadillac is a team, so it's not really Chevy. Okay.
Well, we can still have like a CTSV Blackwing pace car or something. That would be pretty sick.
I'm pretty excited. Cadillac makes some awesome stuff, and their V cars are amazing. So, I think this will be exciting to see. Thank you for joining us for Switchcast with Doug Tabbitt and Tyler Sanders, produced by Ethan Huffnagel. Switchcast is an automotive entertainment and opinion show, and nothing we say should be taken very seriously. We do not give tax, investment, legal, emotional, or professional advice, and the only licenses we hold are driver's licenses. The opinions expressed on this show are exclusively held by the people pontificating at that moment and do not reflect the values of our producers or sponsors. Our theme music is provided by Emily and Ivory. You can stream their full album on Spotify or SoundCloud. If you like this show, you can stream it in its entirety on your favorite audio podcast platform. Check out switchcast.live for more info.